lead us in that time of worship and praise. And it's good to praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to give Him praise. And it's good that you've got up this morning and you've come to exalt His name and praise Him. And it's exciting times as well that we're living in as well. And you know, this month of April, and many people throughout this week, all over the world, and we celebrate in Easter time as we remember Jesus dying on the cross. But He didn't remain at the cross, because we know He went to the tomb but rose again. And we believe that. Amen? We believe that. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to come around the word in a moment or two, and I've got a number of announcements to make beforehand as well. Just if you've got one of these, a lot of the notices are in there, so please take note, because there's a number of activities that are taking place this week, the next couple of weeks, but this week as well, just to remember and to make a note of too. First, I had an announcement come through from regard to CPA, but at the Rock Church this Wednesday at 6:30, there's a CPA celebration, which is CPA is the Christian Police Association, and it's great that there's Christians involved within the police, and I know street pastors work alongside them and they work together. And this Wednesday at the Rock Church, the Rock Christian Centre, at Wednesday the 12th, 6:30 p.m. Paul Hunt's just asked if we just make an announcement to say if anyone's able to go along and join and celebrate with them, as they celebrate and pray together what God is doing amongst the police as well, and obviously street pastors too. Is that right? Thanks, Scott, yeah. Also, last week we took up the heart offering, and just thank you for everyone and all your generous giving and those who responded. Just to let you know, £3,200 has been raised, and I think there might be a little bit more that's also come in that's in the safe. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm waiting for Jim to come back to put that into the account. But praise God, we thank God for that. That's going to go towards the refurbishment of the church, and obviously 10% we're looking to give towards a charity, and we'll let you know as that unfolds too. So praise God, and one of the things that God's put in my heart is that God deserves our best. He gives His best. I mean, God doesn't accept anything, but He deserves the best. And we just want to be, this is the house of God. We know it's just a building, but it's a place we come and worship God together. And we just believe that, you know, want to just do a few refurbishments, that we just come together and worship Him. So that's one of the things that we're looking to do with the money that's been raised towards that. And this Wednesday, there is no prayer meeting this Wednesday, this week, but we'll recommence the week after. Well, but if you're looking for something to go to, obviously there's a CPA event at the Rock Christian Centre. This Friday we have the Easter service and a Good Friday, so if you're able to join us. And I believe there is a walk of witness in the town afterwards, meeting at the parish hall at 12 o'clock. If anyone wants to join, I think they go out every year. They've been out, I've heard about that this week, so if you're able to join and support that, that's this Friday, 10 o'clock here, and then if anyone wants to join, 12 o'clock at the parish church afterwards in Rotherham, as they join together for that walk of witness next week. This week as well, the kids' club is on, is that right? And it's on Wednesday, Thursday, 9 till 4 this week, the 12th and the 13th. So if you want to know more about that, see Jenny, I'm sure she'd love to take your name and tell you more about that, what's happening, just where they can come together and have fun, but also learn about Jesus this week. So please be praying as well for our young people and for the leaders as they lead that. So on Saturday, we're getting there. Saturday, where there's a walk as well. If you're interested in joining us for a walk, we're going to have a walk and fellowship together up at Bakewell, meeting at Bakewell Station. So it's an Easter Saturday walk. So if you want to know more about that, it's 10 o'clock, meeting at that right? Bakewell Station. And the postcode is in the notice sheet there as well, so you're welcome to join us. But if you want to know more about that, please see Jill and Scott as they're organising that for the day. That's next Saturday. I'm sure we're going to have wonderful weather and a great time together and fellowship too. Yes, and finally, one of the things that we're also looking at doing is in May is I just want to embrace really that the different nations of the world. And one of the things we're looking at doing is having a International Food Day, where we can come and bring food together and eat together, and food from different countries and nations. So we'll give you more information about that. That's to be taking place in May, and it'd be great this time just to celebrate and also be praying for missions and throughout the world and the work that's going on throughout the world today. So any other information, it's all in the notice sheet, and please, by all means, take a hold and look at that as well. Let's pray together, shall we? Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Oh, Father, we do. We consider it such a joy and a privilege just to come into your presence today. Lord, just to come and meet together, to fellowship with one another. Lord, and to celebrate you. Celebrate a risen Savior. Celebrate you, Jesus. That not only you're alive, but you're alive in us. And we thank you, Father, that you're living today. And Lord, may we know the power of the living God working in us and through us. And Lord, as we come to your word together, as we come and seek your face, we pray that you would speak to us, that you would unfold your purposes and your plans for us individually and as a church. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome here to minister. And Lord, as your word goes forth, let it come forth with power, bringing healing and deliverance, Father, and the mighty things that you said it would do. So Lord, we thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now we've also got a treat after this, as we're going to finish probably a little bit earlier, but we're going to have the children are going to come and do something as well at the end, going to come and sing to us before we finish. So that's something we can look forward to at the end of the service. Okay, so if you've got your Bibles, you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 19. As we come to this passage, we see that Jesus is approaching Jerusalem as the time is drawing very close to him being crucified on the cross. And he's heading towards Jerusalem. But on the way to Jerusalem, in chapter 19, we see that he comes through Jericho. And he doesn't have to go that way, but yet again, Jesus being led. And he goes through Jericho, and who he meets in Jericho is Zacchaeus. And you know, although there's crowds there, God, I think there was an appointed time for God to meet with Zacchaeus. And you know, there's an appointed time that God meets with every single one of us in our lives. And that day that you gave your life to Jesus, if you have, and if you haven't, then may that be today. But that day that you give, there was an appointed time where you met with Jesus, where he spoke to you, and something changed in your life on that day. And we praise God that he has appointed times and seasons for our life. And it doesn't just happen the day we get saved. But I believe we can meet with Jesus and encounter him all the way through our lives. And praise God, today could be a day where you can encounter Jesus. He can bring a fresh revelation if you're hungry and you're thirsty for it. And if you're not, then you just pray, God, make me thirsty and make me hungry. As we looked at last week, you know, going in the river of God and going deeper. But there has to be a thirst within us. There has to be a desire that we want to go deeper in the things of God. And I believe God wants to put that hunger and desire within us. So he meets Zacchaeus and he meets with him on that journey. And then Zacchaeus encounters Jesus. Salvation comes to his house. His life changes radically. And then Jesus continues to go to Jerusalem, and the crowds are getting bigger because the crowds at the time of Passover, you'd see thousands of people gathering to celebrate this time, this feast. And as he's approaching in verse 11, Jesus begins to teach on the parable. In other words, he begins to teach and get them ready for when Jesus comes again. Because the people at this time, they're thinking, Jesus is here, and they want him to be the Messiah. I mean, he is the Messiah. But they want him to rule and to reign, to deliver them from their oppression which they are facing. They want him to be the king right there, right now, and to deliver them. And Jesus had to ready them and say, actually, now's not the time, but you need to be ready and to be serving and living for me for the day when I will come back again. And it's so important that we hear that in our hearts today, that we're living as a people who are getting ready for Jesus coming back again. And I believe and I am convinced that Jesus is going to come back again. And I believe it will be soon. We used to sing this song, didn't we? Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. And sometimes we think it's not so soon, and then we just go on and do our own thing in our own life. We need to remind ourselves daily that Jesus is coming back, particularly in these days that we see with the evil that's around us. We be ready, and we live with what God has given us. And then we come to verse 28, where I want to focus on this morning. Chapter 19. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem, and it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethphage and to Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing this colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on him and the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now as he drew near, he saw the city, and he wept over it, saying, if you had known even you, especially in this, your day, the thing that make for you your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you and to the ground, and they will not leave you in one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. Amen. God bless his word to us. So we can just see here, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, this appointed time. He knows the cross is before him. He knows what's ready before him, yet in this moment he's fulfilling the prophetic word upon his life. And he says to the disciples, he says to them, I want you to go, and I want you to go and find, there's a donkey, there's a colt sitting there that nobody has ridden on. I mean, that's something in itself. It was a sacred message, a prophetic word that Jesus was fulfilling. This was a holy time. This was a momentous moment in history that Jesus was doing. And remember, it was all for us, for the glory of God, what God would do for us. So it has its relevance for us. And he said to him, go and you'll find a colt there and go and untie it. And when they say to you, why are you taking it? Say, the Lord has need of it. And I was just thinking about this in life, and sometimes I feel that the Lord would say to us at times that the Lord would have need of things in our life. There are things that God has given us. There are things that God has put around us, whether that be giftings, spiritual giftings. It may be things that we have learned through life, we've acquired through life. It may be possessions, things that we have. I believe the Holy Spirit at a time in our life will say to us, the Lord has need of it. And we have it tied to us so tightly, and there needs to be an untying so we can release it into the hands of Jesus. The Lord has need. And we know that God has everything he needs, but God chooses to give us the privilege of being able to use what he has given us to use for his glory. And we know that we can never ever outgive God. No matter what we give, he says, if we give with the right attitude, we give cheerfully, and as we give to him, not necessarily to man, as we give to God, then he will pour back into us if we give rightly. And that giving, that as we give, should always be giving out of a generous heart, should always be giving out of a loving heart to express our love for him. Don't you just love Jesus? And I pray that you would begin to see just how much he's given us, that it causes something to move within us that says, Jesus, I just want to give you everything that I have. I know there are moments in my life, and I'm sure maybe in your life, where you just love Jesus so much. You say, Jesus, what can I give you? What can I give you today? I remember one lady that we knew, she just loved Jesus so much. And I remember one time she was telling me, she went, opened her wardrobe, and she loved clothes. And she opened her wardrobe and she said, Lord, what is it? What can I give somebody today? And he pointed out one of her favorite coats and said, take this coat and give it to this person. But she just had the attitude, I just want to bless you, God. I want to give of my life to you. But sometimes things in life, we can be so tied to us that we don't want to let it go. We don't want to let it go. God has given us resources for his kingdom. And God would encourage us to know the joy of giving from our life. Just to think that as they untied that colt, as they untied that animal and they began to take it, and that man, he thought later on as he read the scriptures, as he heard, that was my donkey, that was mine, and I gave it to God. The joy in his heart that God was able to take it. And I feel the joy that we would feel. Maybe we could come and say before God, maybe this morning or even this time, we could say, God, what is it that I have that you would have need of right now? Is it some part of my time that I can give? Is it some love? Is it some of my experience in life? Is it something that I can give, some of my giftings, my time, my talent? Is it something of my possession, Lord, that I have that you want me to give? And beware that God may ask you to give something that you may not want to give. But God, I believe that when God asks us to give things that are so close to us, those things have a hold on us, and it has a hold on our relationship with Jesus. And God wants to release that thing which have a hold on us so we can have more of him. That I might decrease, that he might increase. You know, when we pray, we say, God, I want to know you more in my life. I want to know your presence more in my life. I want to know your glory more. I want to know your power more in my life. And I'm sure all of us would agree that we want to know Jesus more. But you know, we don't really want to know the cost. We want to know the Jesus, but we don't want to know the cost. And the cost will mean that we've got to let go of some stuff in our life. And we lay it down before him. But when we lay it down, let us lay it down with joy of whom we are giving it to. And knowing that actually there is a greater reward that awaits us. Not that we give it for the reward, but we give it for our love for him. Now, some of us may feel we have very little to give, but I tell you, out of the littleness, God will still rejoice. Out of the littleness, God will still rejoice if it's coming from that deep heart. When we have less to give, it makes it more of a sacrifice sometimes. So what are the things the Lord has need of in our life? In this moment, I don't think they realized just half of what the blessing that was going to be, the fulfillment of Scripture. So the Lord has need for it. They took it, this donkey, and they carried it through. And it says they set Jesus upon this donkey. I tell you, wow. You know, they could have come riding on in a horse. And many commentators would agree that a horse would symbolize a picture of a warrior, of a mighty warrior, a mighty king who was coming to rule and reign. But Jesus came on a donkey. He came, and this is a picture of Jesus coming as the Prince of Peace. He came to bring peace. People had it in their mind that Jesus was going to come and sit upon the throne. He was going to rule. He was going to deliver them from the oppressors, that they were going to be set free from the things and the oppressing around them. And yet Jesus had a greater and a better plan. How it is for so many of us that we think we want Jesus to do all this for us. And I tell you, Jesus has got a better plan for your life. You may think of the suffering and the difficulties, and you think, if Jesus would just release me from this now, my life would be better. And we lose sight that actually Jesus might just have a better plan for your life if we can just trust him with that. And these people, there was crowds of them gathered around, crowds of them as they gathered and they pressed in as Jesus came closer. And as he came closer to Jerusalem, that noise got louder and louder and louder, and the praise got louder and louder and louder. You know, part of my joy is there will be within us such a praise and such a shout of joy that this whole street will begin to hear the noise that is rumbling in Rotherham Elam Church. Not because it's some hyped up, but because it comes from the depth of our heart that we just love Jesus and we want to give him the praise that he deserves. I don't want to hear the wolves and the rocks cry out. I want to hear the people cry out. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. Peace in heaven and glory to him. You know, in Mark's account and Matthew's account, when he talks about it, he said there was a movement that was going on amongst them. And that word movement is likened to an earthquake. In other words, there was such a rumbling as Jesus was going close, it sounded like an earthquake. How about that? Come on, let's cause an earthquake in Rotherham with praise. has caused an earthquake in the heavenlies because the principalities and the darkness that are around us of the enemy and the demonic strongholds, when they hear the people begin to praise, I tell you, they don't like it. When we begin to praise God, there's an heavenly eruption that is going on. There are chains that begin to come off as people begin to realize what Jesus Christ has done. Because when we praise, we begin to sing truth and we begin to sing and declare the glories of God in the heavenlies. Then faith begins to arise within us. And the doubt and the things that would come against us, they begin to have no effect on us. And I believe that's why in the midst of praise, people can be set free. Deliverance and healing and things can happen because the demonic can not have any control over us because we're lifting Jesus up and we're putting him on the throne and kicking the devil off. So let there be praise resound within you. And I wish I had time and I would talk to you all day about praise and the Hebrew words and just what it means. It's wonderful as we praise God and the breakthrough within it. But let me tell you, there was a praise, there was an eruption, there was an earthquake, there was a shaking going on. And this was a prophetic fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Let's look at that together, shall we? Okay, 400, nearly 500 years ago, before this, a word was spoken. Verse 9, through Zechariah, the prophet. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just, having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. A word spoken years before now comes to the fruition. It comes to pass. Let me tell you, I'm so glad that Lee, you sung that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. You know, because here we see the faithfulness of God. And I tell you, if we could grasp the faithfulness of God in that life, that God has to be faithful. Even in the things, as we look around and we see how God remains faithful, and we think, God, why are you still remaining faithful in those areas? Because he's a God of the covenant, and he's a God of his promise. And if he ever, at any moment, breaks one of his promises, he could break his promise to you and me. He will remain faithful to every promise. And what we see through Scripture again and again, through the fulfillment of the promises of God, is we see the faithfulness of God. We have a covenant-keeping God. When he says he will do something, he will do it. Because if he breaks it at any moment, he could say, well, I decide I don't want to save those people anymore. I've had enough of them. I've changed my mind. I break that promise. He doesn't break his promises. We do. He doesn't. That's another reason to rejoice. He's a faithful God. He's a covenant-keeping God. And here he see that he's fulfilling one of his promises as he comes riding lowly, humble, on a donkey that had not been ridden before. He'd come riding in. His people saw him and they said they laid down their garments. They throw down things before him as a sign of honor, as a sign of respect, as a sign of dignity that before him, who was coming into this place. You know, I think sometimes when we come and worship God, there needs to be a laying down. There needs to be a laying down of the things that around us, laying down of our thoughts of what people are thinking about us, laying down of the garments that we come in. Sometimes we come in on Sundays and we come in with our Sunday spiritual dresses on or our clothes. I'm not wearing a dress. Just in case you had that image in your head. We come with our spiritual garments on, and we're wearing it, and we come with those garments that we come with. I'm all right, everything's fine, I've come, and I'm going to sing my songs, I'm going to do my Sunday thing. And I think God just wants us to come real before him. And just come down, lay down those hearts of praise and say, Jesus, here's my life. I come as I am. I've had probably pretty much of a difficult week. There's things come against me. I've made a few mistakes. I've thought a few things I have. But Jesus, I still love you. You're still my Savior. And I just want to come and get right and love you and worship you today. I come as I am. That's what Jesus wants. People who worship him in spirit, in sincerity, and in truth. That's what Jesus loves. He doesn't want these false garments, these false things. He wants us to lay them down and say, God, here I am. Here I am. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you come with today, let's just be real before God and with one another. Because we all have hurts. We all make mistakes. We all mess up. We all have a past. But God, we have a same Savior who loves us. And they laid down their garments and they came and they began to cry out. And it says in Mark's account, he says, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. You know, and I used to think that word Hosanna meant praise God. There's another word like hallelujah. And it is. It's a form of praising God. But the word literally means, it means save us now. Save us now. Save us now. And that became a praise, part of their praise among their culture. As part of it was hallelujah, which means highest praise goes to you. And they would say, save us now. In other words, come and save us. Be our king. Deliver us from our oppressors. Jesus, come. God, come and save us and deliver us. And that's what they were waiting for. And they thought this time had come for them now, where the king was going to come and save them. Like I was saying to us just a little bit earlier in this message, how often we say, God, save me right now. Save me from debt. Save me from this addiction. Save me from this trouble. Save me from this job. Save me from this situation I'm in with my family. Save me from this difficulty. Save me from this sickness. Save me now, we say. Save me from the oppression of the enemies that come against me, from the gossipers, from those who are lying against me. Save us now. Within their hearts, I wonder what they were crying, save us now, from. I wonder what maybe you were crying out this week or this morning. Jesus, save me now. They wanted a deliverer to deliver them now, but yet God had a greater plan. He was going to deliver them from oppression, but it was the oppression of sin. What they weren't probably thinking of in their mind. As they cried out, save them, Jesus is coming as the Prince of Peace, and I'm about to bring peace with you and God. I'm about to bring you exactly what you need. You may not realize it now. When he died on the cross, what did he say? Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. So often in our mind, our thinking, we want Jesus to do this for us, but yet God knew that we needed him to be a Savior for us. He saved us now. Jesus, I'm about to save you from sin. From the slavery of sin, from that which separates the Father from you, from that which separates that relationship, from it hinders you from knowing the Father, from having peace with God, from me knowing you and you knowing me even closer and more intimate. I'm about to deal with that very barrier between us. Do we really care about this barrier in our life? We must be aware of sin in our lives. This world must become aware of sin, that sin separates us from God. That is still part of the gospel message today. Sin separates us from God. And we cannot tolerate it. We cannot live with it. We must deal with it. And it can only be dealt with through looking to the cross of Jesus Christ. For there's no way we can be saved but through Jesus Christ. Some of us may say, well, I've not really done anything wrong this week. You know, I've been all right. I've been pretty good this week, not compared to a few weeks ago. I mean, I'm a lot better now. And we begin to put up that barrier and we think, actually, we've made it. But I think if we're really to get into the presence of Jesus like Isaiah did, we'll be, woe is me, a man of unclean lips. I tell you, the closer we get to Jesus, there will be praise. But I believe there'll also be time when we get on our knees and we begin to weep and we begin to come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and we realize just how separate we really are from Him and how unholy and unworthy we are. And then He just begins to show us His love, His forgiveness, His atoning work of salvation, His plan for salvation, that He set us free, that when He died on the cross, the pain that He bore was taking away that sin, and we begin to see the sin as we confess it and we acknowledge it, it leaves us and is nailed to the cross and is nailed to Him. And then we become free from that burden of sin. And I love that song, would you be free from the burden of sin? And maybe today we carry around a heavy burden on our shoulders. And Jesus says, would you be free from that burden of sin? And we say, no, I'm going to carry it round. And we come to church and we sing our songs, but we still carry that burden round as though we can deal with it. We need to lay it at the cross. We need to see this is the burden bearer. This donkey is carrying Jesus. It's the one who's going to carry my sin and your sin. Would you be free? Would you see Jesus as carrying, yes, save us now, but would you see Him as the one who would save us from sin? Would release us from the oppression of sin. the sin that blinds us, the sin that enables us to see the goodness and the glory of God, the sin that hinders us from hearing His voice. David said, if I'd hid sin in my heart, I wouldn't know you. Sin is a powerful, terrible thing. That's why God hates it so much. And it's only pride that will hinder us from laying it down. Would you be free? As Jesus was carried on that donkey, He was about to carry our sins away. But not only did that donkey carry Jesus, you know, it's a picture, I believe, of you and I through this world. As Jesus has cleansed us, as Jesus washes us, that we now have the privilege of taking Jesus and carrying Him everywhere we go. And we carry a Jesus who is still, in a sense, He's still the humble Jesus. We carry Him, but He's also victorious as He overcame our sin. And we get to carry Him to the world and tell people about Him. Tell Him what He's done for us. This is Jesus who set me free. This is Jesus who delivered me. This is Jesus who took all my sin, and He continues to forgive me, and He continues to wash me, and He continues to make me new, and He continues to show me and speak to me. He continues to love me through life, and He continues to be there for me and remain with me. This is Jesus, and I want this world to know Jesus. As I carry Him, you can carry Him too in your life. Take up your cross and follow me, says Jesus. Let's carry Jesus through life. Let's carry the testimony of what He's done for us. For that's your gospel. We think, well, I don't know what the gospel... I'm not very good at sharing the gospel. Simply, your gospel is what Jesus has done for you. And telling people of what He's done. Would you share Jesus with this world? Jesus comes through, they say, Hosanna, save us now. Glory to God in the highest. And that rumbling, the earthquake. And I believe there wasn't just an earthquake going on, but there was an earthquake going on in the hearts. Can you imagine as everybody, the shout of praise as people sing Jesus? Can you imagine what's going on in their hearts? I mean, we can listen, we think, what's going on? But when it begins to affect your heart, have you had the earthquake of God begin to so stir and move your heart to respond to Him? I pray God would not only cause an earthquake in Rotherham, but it cause an earthquake in us as a church. That it'd move us to praise Him. It'd move us to shout and rejoice. It'd move us to come on our knees. It'd move us to declare His goodness. God, stir an earthquake in us. When I was studying the Great Awakening, which is the great move of God, the revival under Jonathan Edwards and George Whitfield, one of the things that the catalyst that they look at to the revival that stirred the people was that apparently an earthquake had hit in Massachusetts in America. An earthquake had caused a stirring that people began to get fearful of their lives and realize, actually, this is my life. It's not, I could be here for a moment, then it could go. They began to become awakened in their hearts. And then they heard the gospel message as it came forth, and the Spirit of God began to move, and they began to get right with God. And there were people falling on their faces in tears. People in physically shaking under the fear and the awe of who God is and the need to know Him in their life. We need that awareness of God in our life. I was chatting with someone this week about God. He was asking me questions about God and different things. And he said, you know, I don't really think about my future, about where I'll be in you know, I just live each day and I'm enjoying each day. I don't really think about life after death and what will happen there. He had no account or no even thoughts about how sad that is. So many of us just go through life one day at a time. We don't think about what really matters. Does our life not really matter to God enough? That God wants to have done all this for us so that we could have a place with Him. In eternity, yes, but eternal life starts the moment we accept Jesus into our hearts. And then we have a home that we sung about earlier in glory, where we'll see our loved ones again who also know Him. Let me close, and the children are going to be coming through in a moment. But Jesus came through. I just love this. It says it's a triumphal entry, but we see something that happens with Jesus in Jesus' heart. as he goes, it says he nears Jerusalem city, and he looks. So there's people praising, there's a shout of praise, there's a rumbling, there's all this noise going on. He declares, you know, about the importance of them worshipping and praising God, that, and he accepts the praise. It's one of the only times in Scripture we see Jesus accepting the praise. In the midst of all this, he turns, and you'd think there might be a big smile, a joy in his face. But this moment, as he looks over these people, it says that he wept. You see what's going on in Jesus' heart. I think sometimes when we get close to Jesus, he'll begin to move us and we'll weep. And that word wept is literally to cry aloud. That Jesus, he wasn't just sitting there with tears begin to trickle down his face and, you know, just dripping and dripping. He began to weep. He began to wail. He began to cry out. He was so moved within his being as he looked out over Jerusalem and he was looking at all these souls, all these people as he saw them. And they said, he said, there's so many of you that haven't realized the visitation of Jesus Christ, hasn't realized what is happening right now. So many of you in this world today haven't grasped it. So many who are sitting in churches, so many sitting in their homes, so many sitting watching television, do not realize that Savior has come into this world to deliver us from this great, awesome oppression of sin. And he said he wept, and he wept, and he wept. And you know, if Jesus looked over our souls today, would he be weeping or would he be rejoicing? Have we realized the Savior has come for me and for you? I am so glad that Jesus died for me. So many times in my life, I've been there in those times of loneliness, in pain, and Jesus has been there. And his just presence just comes over my soul. And he says, I'm here. I'm here. I would not get through a day without Jesus in my life. And I thank God for the times where I'm just talking with people and I feel that agony in my heart and I feel that pain in my heart and in my soul as I see people that don't know him. And I think, if you only knew what I knew. And they say things like, well, you know, it's just in your mind, it's just in your imagination. I tell you, it's not. I know him. I've seen, I've experienced him daily. I cannot deny him. I cannot. He's real. He is alive and he's living in me. And there's so much more. And if we could just begin to grasp that in our lives. Praise God. Let's pray, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we're delighted, Jesus, that you came. And Lord, this Easter time, we can rejoice because you're alive. We can sing, we can shout, we can declare. And Lord, may we be louder than the rocks can ever be. Lord, cause our praise to erupt. Cause us to lay down our pride. Cause us to lay down our fleshly desires. Cause us to lay down what we want and just give you the praise because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Cause us, Lord, stir us by your Spirit to praise you, to worship you, to thank you. And Father, is anyone who's come today who, Lord, is under that oppression of sin, who's separated from you. Lord, you want to just give that opportunity now. If you're here today and you feel distant from God, you feel under the weight of sin, and you need to know Jesus as your Savior. You can sing about him, you can shout about him, but you don't know him. Then right now, I just want to give that opportunity. And if that's you and you want Jesus in your heart, you want to receive him in your life, then would you just say, that's me? And would you be bold enough and brave enough to say, yes, that's me? And just do that by just raising your hand. Say, I want Jesus in my life. Say, Jesus, I need you in my life. I don't want to walk alone. If that's you, just raise your hand. Maybe you've drifted away and you're not as close as you once were. This could be your appointed time, like it was for Zacchaeus, and say, Jesus, I want to know you again. Let's pray. Jesus, forgive me. I'm sorry. so sorry, Father, for every sin I've ever committed, everything I've done wrong, every lie, every bad thought, every anger, every hatred, every bitterness. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Wash me clean. Would you come into my heart, Jesus? Would you reside within me? Would you make me new? Just invite him into your heart. Draw me close to you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And help me live for you by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.